Working here in the Barnett Shale requires that you have the best equipment available, because every job counts. Put Energy Weld Fab to work on your next project. Energy Weld Fab manufactures oil and gas production equipment, as well as fabrication of custom vessels, piping, and structural steel. The Energy Weld Fab sales staff has a wealth of knowledge working here in the state of Texas and other regions, as some of their biggest clients are folks like EOG, Chesapeake, Quicksilver, and XTO. Call Mike Clements at Energy Weld Fab's team today with your questions and ordering information at 903-297-2500. That's 903-297-2500. Energy Weld Fab is your number one choice for oil field and production equipment, because they understand that every job counts. That's Energy Weld Fab at 903-297-2500.
The work of FCA can be summed up in four words: coaches, campus, camp, and community. The four C's are vital in fulfilling FCA's vision of seeing the world impacted for Jesus Christ through the influence of athletes and coaches.
Dedicated to quality and service, Western Company of Texas has earned the reputation as the premier water transfer company in all the Barnett Shale. Their goal is to efficiently transfer water to your next completion job with the best service possible, and can meet your water transfer needs anyplace, anytime, anywhere, 24/7. Western Company of Texas has a proven track record and has successfully completed thousands of water transfer jobs and can meet those last-minute deadlines. So if you're looking to transport water to your next completion job, then think Western Company of Texas and the guys with the green pumps. They cover all the Barnett Shale with locations in Cleburne, Ponder, Hyco, and Weatherford. Western Company of Texas has a large inventory of irrigation pipe and transfer pumps available and ready to meet all your water transfer needs. Western Company of Texas and the guys with the green pumps, committed to precision, performance, and competitive pricing. Excellence is not expensive, it's priceless. Call Western Company of Texas and the guys at the Green Pumps. They are the premier water transfer company in all the Barnett Shale. Call 682-831-9300, 682-831-9300, or go to their website at wct.us.com.
The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. And indeed, it is a big weekend in college football. We're so excited for our next segment, because the gentleman who joins us each weekend with our Under the Helmet segment is Jason Peter. Of course, he doesn't need any kind of introduction. Three-time national champion at the University of Nebraska. Jay, how are you this weekend?
I'm good. How are you doing, Elissa?
Doing great. Ready for another big weekend in college football. And before we look ahead and talk about Saturday's games, let's take a step back and talk about Nebraska. What a thriller last weekend on the road in Seattle. And most importantly, a big win on the road.
Yeah, it was shocking for me. People were asking how I thought this game would play out. And I thought Nebraska would win. I thought it would come down to the fourth quarter, and maybe Nebraska would win by a field goal or a touchdown max. But they absolutely annihilated Washington. And I had a lot of, I guess, anticipation for this game, just not because it was Nebraska's first time packing their bags and going on the road, but when you talk about Washington, and I think a lot was made last year with Steve Sarkisian and bringing Washington back somewhat. I mean, this was the same team that 2 years ago went winless, and they were just down at the bottom of the barrel. And with the quarterback, Jake Locker, people talked about him. If he had come out last year, maybe he would challenge Sam Bradford for that number one spot. And it was just disappointing. I mean, Jake Locker looked like a true freshman out there playing. And And I know a lot of that had to do with Nebraska's defense, and in particular Nebraska's secondary, but I think he ended up going 4-for-20 or something like that through a bunch of picks, and it was, I think, his worst performance ever as a college quarterback. So Nebraska really showed up the ground game. Obviously, the quarterback who's getting a lot of hype now, Taylor Martinez, had another exceptional game. And he ripped off a bunch of big plays, 60, 70, 80 yards, and he continues to impress. You know, you live up here in Lincoln and you start to hear people talking about Taylor Martinez in the same sentence as Tommy Frazier. You start hearing about could a freshman win the Heisman Trophy. And right now I think it's all kind of – it's laughable at this point because, like I said, I mean, this was a – it was a good win against Washington, but it's also a Washington team that – 2 years ago didn't win a game. So you got to put everything in perspective.
We will talk some more about your quarterback, Taylor Martinez, but you had mentioned Washington's coach, Steve Sarkisian, who referred to Nebraska's secondary as the best pass defense in America. I know you love to talk about defense, but Nebraska's really showing the nation that it has one of the best pass defenses all around.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that point. I was a huge fan of this group, that secondary, last year. There was so much attention given to that defensive line with Ndamukong Suh up front. But when you go back and you watch the games from last year, over 50% of the time that Nebraska was getting to the quarterback or sacking him, it was because the quarterback had nowhere to throw the ball. I mean, they've got two tremendous corners in Dennard is one kid's last name, and Prince Amukamara is the other. And they've got great safeties as well. And they play well as a unit. They're coached by a guy, a former Husker, Marvin Sanders, who's just done a tremendous job. But yeah, when you look at secondaries around the country, a lot of people talk about the Texas secondary being maybe tops in the country. If that's the case, this Nebraska secondary is not that far behind. You could, I think, make a valid argument that Nebraska secondary could be the best. I think you'll find out on October 16th when they go head-to-head, but both teams, I don't think you or the coaches could imagine having a better secondary back there than the ones that each of these teams have.
It's exciting talking about the Huskers' defense, and you think back a year ago, Nebraska finished 10-4, won the Big 12 North, came within a second of defeating Texas for that Big 12 Conference Championship, and then went on to, you know, really play well in the Holiday Bowl. Jason, I got to ask you, you've covered the Huskers for many, many years, obviously been a part of that program. How good is this team, and potentially how far can they go?
I think they have the potential to be in a BCS championship, or in that, let me take that back, a BCS bowl game. Do they have an opportunity to get to the championship game? Sure. I mean, everybody does, and at this point, you know, they're undefeated. If somebody proposed a matchup right now where we would play Alabama, I think we would get rolled just because I don't think our rush defense is good enough at this point. But they're coming along. After this win against Washington, it is, I think, natural for people to start speculating or to start envisioning their team kind of where they're going to end up. And when you look at Nebraska's schedule, I think the one big game, the true big game that they have is Texas, October 16th, and that's in Lincoln. And you have everything, like you mentioned, from last year where Nebraska was 0.1 second away from winning that game, and it left a bitter taste in Nebraska's mouth. I mean, it's very similar, I think, as to back in 1993. Well, it was the 94 Orange Bowl where Nebraska played Florida State, and we ended up losing that game 18-16. But we felt like we outplayed them on the field, and that was the game that let us know we can play with anybody. Because there had been for many, many years I guess, the idea that Nebraska, they could kind of clean up in the Midwest, but once they had to go play one of those teams from Florida or from California, one of those teams that had a lot of speed, we would just get outclassed. And that game, even though it was a loss, I think in our minds it made us believe. And I think that is a similar feeling as to the game last year between Nebraska and Texas. I think Texas was one of those schools that you talk about elite college football teams. You're talking about Texas, Oklahoma, USC, and for Nebraska to feel like they outplayed them that game, I think it gives these kids, 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, the confidence. And so much of college football is about confidence. I mean, we used to walk out onto the field and we carried ourselves with confidence, and you could just see the look in our opponent's eyes as you know, they knew that they couldn't beat us, that the game was almost over before it even begun. And I think, you know, not to say that that's similar, that same feeling that this team has, but I think they're getting there. And you know, it's a huge factor that sometimes isn't talked about enough, because so much is about what does somebody have on paper? Who's the wide receiver? Who's the left tackle? Who's the quarterback? When, you know, the great thing about college football is it doesn't matter if the guy's 6'5", 300 pounds, or if your offensive tackles are 6'8", 320 pounds, or your quarterback 6'5". College football is great because it's about players that just love to play football. You can be 5'11 or 6 foot and play offensive line in college football. Nebraska center Mike Caputo is maybe 6 foot if he has high heels on, and hopefully he's not putting high heels on, but you know, he's about 6 foot and 265, 270 pounds.
Is he a flat belly?
And he's a mauler. I mean, he goes really out there and gets after people, and it's about attitude, and that's the great thing that I love, at least, about college football.
It is our Big 12 breakdown. Joining us this weekend on the Western Company of Texas phone line is Jason Peter. It's our Under the Helmet segment. And, you know, it's interesting. I don't want to get too far off track, because I do want to zero in and talk about your quarterback, Taylor Martinez. But Nebraska, Texas, what is it about? It seems like there's been a rivalry that has developed between these two schools over the past 10 years. And certainly we're going to hate to say goodbye to Nebraska as you guys go off to the Big Ten. But this is going to be a very special matchup, as you had talked about, what, October 16th?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back, I think, to 1996. I was a junior then, and we played Texas in the Big 12 championship game, and that was a year where we started the season off. In the second game of the season, we lost Arizona State, and we were able to work our way back up to, I think we were number three, and the way that it was set up, if we had won that game, we were going to get an opportunity to play for a national championship, and we were 11-1, and I think Texas had 4 or 5 losses. And it was a game. It was the first season of the Big 12, and I remember Coach Osborne was somebody who didn't want, I guess, there to be a championship game unless it maybe called for. And here you had, because there is the opportunity that you're taking a team that can compete for a national championship and bring a national championship to the conference, you have that there's that chance that that team is playing somebody like a Texas who doesn't have any national championship hopes or even a major bowl hope. But for, you know, I don't think you can argue it now. I think, you know, there's the reason why they do play that game, because on any given Saturday, anybody can beat anybody, and if you're not prepared, that's what happens. And we went down and we played Texas, and we lost, and our national championship dreams were dead. And I think that was the start of this rivalry there. And Texas has just had Nebraska's number. We have always struggled playing them. I think we've beaten them one time since 1996. And obviously last year, with all the excitement about that game and the controversy around that game, it's really just building towards this game, October 16th. Nebraska fans are calling it, they're calling for a redout around the world. And, you know, initially there was a video put up kind of pinpointing and targeting Texas, since it was put up, I think maybe it lasted for a day or two, the university kind of stepped in and pulled it down, but the damage has already been done, and I wasn't a big fan of it. I don't think you should pinpoint any one game, especially when you're at a school like Nebraska. That's kind of the way that people used to look at us, the Missouris or the Kansas States. They used to circle that one game against Nebraska, Colorado, and they, the crazy things that they used to do around that one game, and ultimately we'd end up blowing them off the map. And what ends up happening is, you know, these 18, 19-year-old kids, everything's deflated, everything's taken out of them, because the one game that you've asked them to kind of build up to as the pinnacle of the season, if they end up losing that, where do they go from there? Nowhere. They go straight crashing down. But Nebraska did step in. They pulled it down. But that's what it's being called now, is a readout around the world.
Well, we certainly have it circled on the calendar. I have to tell you, though, I really like how Nebraska's schedule sets up. Of course, you know, an easy opponent. You can't be complacent this weekend playing South Dakota State. But then you guys have a bye October 2nd, then at Kansas State, and then a beautiful segue right into Texas, and then just the remainder of the season, how it lays itself out. But let's talk right now about Nebraska's offensive coordinator, Sean Watts. And he's got to be so pleased with just the marked improvement. I mean, and I have to say, I'll say this kindly, but I mean, it seemed, you know, offensively, you guys were really inept last year, but just have really progressed and is very prepared. And the young man you're talking about is quarterback Taylor Martinez. What a difference he has made, Jason.
Yeah, and I haven't been, I guess, the biggest supporter of Sean Watson so much. You know, he was part of Bill Callahan's clan, and so much was made about the offense under Bill Callahan, and Sean Watson was the guy who was the offense coordinator, and you know, they used to kind of throw out these stats where Nebraska ranked offensively, and it kind of put this idea that the offense was fine, it was just the defense that couldn't do anything, and rightfully so, the defense was horrible, but the offense, a lot of those yards, they were coming at the end of the game, and they were playing against the third and fourth string of the opponent. And for me, I just kind of saw right through it. And I knew what was really going on. And it was this kind of supposed to be this high octane, this passing attack, this NFL style of offense. And as a kid that played for Nebraska, I know kind of how what Nebraska has stood for over the years when talking about offense, and it's that power running game. And I think for Nebraska to always be successful, I think you have to have your base of your offense as that ground game, because Nebraska can't go out. They're not going to sign the 6'5", 220-pound receiver, the Julio Jones, or the from Alabama, or the Green kid from Georgia. I mean, you're going to get the guys that USC doesn't want. You're going to get the guy who doesn't go to Alabama. You're going to get the guy who maybe is 6'1", 6'2". You know, he's probably not dreaming of going. Well, he's dreaming of going to the NFL, but the reality of him making it is probably slim and none. You got to go out and get those guys that are willing to block downfield and do the dirty work. And there's been a big kind of transformation, I think, under Bo. He has, I think, had to kind of force Sean Watson into a corner. And that's the great thing, I think, about Taylor Martinez, is he's a redshirt freshman. His strength, I mean, it lies with his legs. He can run. We've heard about him as a passer, and at the Washington game, he actually came out and threw a few great balls right out of the gate, but as the game progressed, you could see the freshman in him. I mean, there were some bad throws out there, and his throwing skills are nowhere near where his running skills are. But as an offense coordinator in Sean Watson, it kind of forces him more into calling designed runs, whether it's handing the ball to the running back or letting Taylor Martinez run with the ball. So I kind of like where we're at with the young quarterback who can run, because he kind of forces Sean Watson's hand. And when Bo, I think, you know, dreamt up the type of team that he had, I don't think it's with a quarterback that's going to be back there throwing the ball 50 times a game. It's not going to be, the way it was at Oklahoma with Sam Bradford or even with Landry Jones. I think Bo has always envisioned a physical smash-mouth style of football, more like what Nick Saban is doing down there at Alabama, because when it's third and one and you're in the fourth quarter, you got to be able to pound that ball and pick up that first down. You got to be able to break the spirit of the opponent's defense. And when you're throwing the ball all over the place, I don't think it breaks the will as much as it does when a team can't stop somebody's running game, because it literally just rips the heart right out of those defensive players.
Well, you talk about breaking the spirit of the opposing team. You got to like the pattern of what the Huskers are doing, because they're really striking early. They're scoring early, and they're coming ready to play mentally, physically, right out of the gates.
Yeah, they came right out of the gate against Washington. They got a big interception, and boom, they scored, I think, on the second play of the game. And you know, it all starts, like I said, with the ground game. But they've got two, I think, very, very capable running backs in Roy Helu and Rex Burkhead, who's a sophomore, and Roy is a senior. And both of them at times last year showed that they're capable running backs, except that they both were dealing with injuries. And I think when you have them both back there and you're able to split the carries and not put the entire workload on one of their shoulders, I think you can make both of these guys last till the end of the year. Obviously, freak injuries happen, and you just kind of have to cross your fingers and hope that stuff like that doesn't. But both of them, I think, when you have that 1-2 kind of combo, you combine that with a third guy, basically, in the backfield, and Taylor Martinez that can run the ball. I mean, they had three guys go over the century mark in rushing the ball. And that's kind of unheard of these days, because so many offenses are about passing. And to be able to put three guys over 100 yards, it's remarkable. And it's also a sign of what that offensive line is doing. I mean, this has been a line that's had issues depth-wise. They've had issues just in quality of starters. And I think Bo feels like they're finally at a point where they have good depth, and they have guys out there that can get the job done. And nothing was more satisfying for me than seeing kind of that old school style of Nebraska football. So I think they're headed in the right direction, and as long as they don't get off track and try to become an offense that they're not, I think they'll be fine.
You bring up a great point talking about that offensive line. I mean, they have depth, quality starters, and, you know, you think back even offensively 1 year ago. I mean, this was a team that was just riddled with so many injuries. What, Zach Lee, he had the injured elbow, and then the offensive line was very banged up. But either way, things are looking up in 2010. Let's shift avenues and head to Norman, Oklahoma, as we go around the Big 12 Conference. And certainly the Sooners versus Air Force, 27-24. A lot of folks, even the guest on my program last weekend, James Hale with OUESPN.com, he had projected that this was going to be a fairly close game. What did you think, Jason?
I was shocked. I was truly shocked when I saw this game. And the people that I was watching it with, I mean, we kind of had to put that one up on the big screen just because we thought Oklahoma was going to go down. And when you look at kind of Oklahoma's season so far, starting off, you know, with a close one and then blowing Florida State out of the water. I mean, and Florida State, there had been so much hype with them coming into to Norman and under the new leadership of Jimbo Fisher. I remember we talked about that game prior to,
right,
to that weekend, and everybody was looking forward to this great game, and Oklahoma just crushed them. And I think when you looked at this Air Force game, clearly Oklahoma has better players. But I think any time you play a team that runs that triple option, it's going to create problems. It's an offense that, even though a lot of teams have some option influence in their offenses these days with that spread option type look, the triple option is completely different. It's all about responsibilities, and it's about guys staying on their man, having a complete commitment. There's a level of discipline that has to be has to be taken out there and shown out there on the field. If you have the pitch man, you have the pitch man. So if you're a corner and you're coming up and yeah, you've got the pitch man, but in you know, a 19 or 20 year old kid's head, he's thinking, I can see the quarterback though, and I can go make that play because I'm a great athlete. Well, the second he goes to make that play, who's getting the ball? The pitch man's getting the ball, and now nobody's on the pitch man, and he's running down the sidelines and he's getting his head on the goalpost. So anytime you play the triple option, I mean, you can go back and look at Kansas State or Kansas playing Georgia Tech
right
the other week. I mean, Kansas, this was a team coming off of a loss to, who was it? South Dakota State or I don't know.
No name school, yeah.
One of those schools. And the next week they beat Georgia Tech, who's ranked 17th and has one of the best rushing attacks in the country. And why? I think it's because you got Turner Gill as the head coach at Kansas, and if there's one guy who knows how to stop the option, it's probably Turner Gill, because he spent gosh knows how many years running over teams running the option. So it is all about responsibility. It is all about a sound game plan, and it's about your kids following through on that game plan. It's hard to play against the option because it's hard for teams to disguise coverages. It's hard for teams to show different looks out there because it is so, like I said, responsibility dictated. And I think that was probably one of the reasons that Oklahoma had some trouble there with their Air Force. And you got to remember, too, for Air Force, this is their kind of BCS game. This is their game where they get to go in and, you know, knock off the giant. And that's one of the things I think it goes back to what I was saying before about why I love college football. It's because you've got the kids that aren't your prototypical size. You got the kids that aren't going to the NFL, but college football is so much about heart. And for that day, Air Force was equally as talented as Oklahoma.
Absolutely. You have to tip your hat to Troy Calhoun doing a fantastic job there with Air Force. Let's look ahead and talk about Oklahoma, the matchup with Cincinnati. And I think what kind of, you know, makes you grimace just a little bit is that you think back to last year for the Sooners, all five of their losses last season came away from home. It was on the road. What do you think of this particular matchup? I know they want to move to 4-0 and still have that shot, you know, eventually at the national championship, but those Bearcats are going to be looking to knock them off.
They will. And not, let me take that back. I'm not saying they will knock them off, because I think Cincinnati, it's a different Cincinnati team now. I mean, with Brian Kelly gone, and they've kind of struggled here, I think, this season. Anytime you have change at the top like that, and Brian Kelly has proven himself to be a heck of a football coach, but anytime you lose kind of your head guy, things will never be the same. And I think Cincinnati's finding that out. And Oklahoma, they're going to want to make a point now. And I would just have to imagine that Oklahoma is going to come out and roll Cincinnati. I hate to say it, but college football nowadays, you know, style points, I guess, are taken into consideration. And when you have a close one against Air Force like Oklahoma did, I could only imagine that Bob Stoops has gotten after the troops, and they're going to be ready to roll, and they're going to be ready to go out and show everybody that Oklahoma, the team that they are, is the team that you saw against Florida State, not the team that you saw against Air Force.
Well, one of the guys that he certainly is going to be looking for perhaps better production but more consistency is his quarterback, Landry Jones. He needs to kind of step it up a little bit more, but he still is a young player, to give him that credit.
He is young, but I think if you talk about some of the more inconsistent quarterbacks in college football, I think Landry Jones is one of those guys that his name's got to be thrown into the conversation. I mean, there are times when he looks like he's the next coming of Sam Bradford. And, yeah, he's young, but I think when you look at Sam Bradford's career, I mean, you go back to when he was a redshirt freshman and gosh, he took college football by storm, and then followed that up with a great sophomore year. I think there's got to be a certain level of consistency. You've got to go out and you've got to be able to be accounted for, and you got to be able to. I think, be that consistent figure, especially when you're the quarterback. You can't be so hot and cold, and especially at a school like Oklahoma. Do I think Landry Jones will end up being a very good quarterback? Yeah, I do. I really do, just because of what Bob Stoops stands for down there and the job that they do and the level of competition that they create day in and day out on the practice field. I've got to imagine that one of these games is just going to click for Landry Jones, and we won't have this conversation anymore about his inconsistency.
Well, it's their first road game going to Cincinnati, and we'll just have to keep our eye on it and see how it all shakes itself out. Any other compelling matchups that you're going to be watching this weekend?
Gosh, this weekend doesn't seem to be a great one. I know in the Big 12, there's the UCLA game. And, you know, other than that, I think up here in Lincoln, people are looking at this weekend's game as maybe just another opportunity to tailgate. And, you know, hopefully they're not looking way, way ahead to October 16th into Texas, because not only could a team like South Dakota State show up and beat you, but, you know, the following week when they have to go to Manhattan and play on a Thursday night, you know Bill Snyder is going to want something. He's going to want a piece of Nebraska before these teams go their separate ways. And you could only imagine the amount of trickery that Bill Snyder is going to take into that game. But, look, any weekend that there's college football on is a good weekend for me.
It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Jason, thanks so much for dropping by. Tommy Pippins is going to be with us here in just a moment from Fox Milwaukee. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back.
The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell is the biggest names in sports.
Delivering the insight
you won't find anywhere else.
Anywhere else.
Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson,
Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum,
and Big E's regular guest of ESPN Radio, better known as the Double Nickel, Jason Peter. The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Miss one episode and you miss the game.